From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 18 and verse 1. Having finally completed their conquest of the land of Canaan, the children of Israel gathered at Shiloh, where they set up the tabernacle. Shiloh became the center of the nation's spiritual life. It was there that the annual feasts were held, where the sacrifices to God were offered, where the Day of Atonement was observed. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns explained that the tabernacle is the fullest and most perfect type of Christ in the Scriptures. It was constructed according to the pattern that God gave to Moses. Therefore, it clearly and powerfully sets forth God's pattern for a Christ-centered life. First of all, God commands the lives of His people to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, and not around material things, or even around loved ones. As they began to settle down in their conquered territory, the children of Israel faced the danger of being so taken up with the land that they would forget the Lord. Prosperity, even in the spiritual realm, can become a source of sin for God's people. The Lord must be at the very center of the Christian's life, and this is not an option. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, A Picture of a Christ-Centered Life. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. This covenant is divine in its origin. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Oh, that great word, He! Stop, my soul. God, the everlasting Father, has positively made a covenant with thee. Yes, that God who spake the world into existence by a word, He, stooping from His majesty, takes hold of thy hand and makes a covenant with thee. Is it not a deed, the stupendous condescension of which might ravish our hearts forever, if we could really understand it? He hath made with me a covenant. A king has not made a covenant with me, that were somewhat. But the prince of the kings of the earth, Shaddai, the Lord all-sufficient, the Jehovah of ages, the everlasting Elohim, He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. But notice, it is particular in its application. Yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Here lies the sweetness of it to each believer. It is not for me that He made peace for the world. I want to know whether He made peace for me. It is little that He hath made a covenant. I want to know whether He has made a covenant with me. Blessed is the assurance that He hath made a covenant with me. If God the Holy Ghost gives me assurance of this, then His salvation is mine. His heart is mine. He Himself is mine. He is my God. This covenant is everlasting in its duration. An everlasting covenant means a covenant which had no beginning, and which shall never, never end. How sweet, amidst all the uncertainties of life, to know that the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, and to have God's own promise, My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Like dying David, I will sing of this, even though my house be not so with God as my heart desireth.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
So as soon as Ephraim had taken its possession, Joshua set up the tabernacle. It was interesting, it was after Ephraim did it. People have wondered why that should be. Well, there are various reasons, but the most obvious is that the lot of Ephraim was at the very heart of the national territory of Israel. This was the center of the nation. And so as soon as it was settled, the Lord told Joshua to call the people together and to erect the tabernacle. This was his command. He was saying to them that Israel was not to enter into the land and live either in the fear of the other nations or by the standard of the other nations. Nor was Israel to become a secular nation. She must, as she enjoyed the material wealth that God had given her, she must not be so taken up with the material as to forget the Lord. You know, human nature never changes. There is nothing drives the spiritual out so quickly as the material. There are very few people in history who have ever been blessed with great material wealth who have yet maintained great spiritual standards. And the Lord recognized that His very fullness of earthly blessing to the nation of Israel was a two-edged sword. He recognized that it was a very dangerous thing for them because they could become so enraptured with the land that they forgot the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, He had given them the warning, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments." When you have eaten and are full, bless the Lord for it. And beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Very few people forget to pray when they're hungry and poor and sick and troubled and needy. But very few people remember to pray when they're full and richly blessed. The children of Israel had to realize that the greatest of all the Lord's blessings were not material at all, they were spiritual. They had to live with that in mind. And that's why the Lord commanded them to set up the tabernacle in the middle of the land. They had to live with this in mind. This is our greatest blessing. Not the crops. Not the mineral wealth. Not the secure boundaries. This is our greatest wealth from God. This is our greatest blessing. The Lord dwelling in the midst of His people. As the Lord gave them that command, He made them understand that their camp always had to be a fit abode for His glory. You'll find He gave through Moses many laws regarding various things, ceremonial laws. There were also sanitary laws, hygiene laws, social laws, civil laws. But they all came down to one thing, that the camp of Israel always had to be a place that was a fit abode for the glory of Jehovah. Their lives, with that tabernacle in the midst, this was God's command. Their lives had to be pure testimonies to the Lord's presence among them and to the Lord's glory manifested. Isn't it obvious that this is precisely how the Lord tells us we are to live? Not by the fear of the world. He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's people are not called to live in cowardly fear of the forces of the world or of the devil. We are not to live in the ways of the world. We are not to ape the ways of the world or the works of the world. Nor are we to live in sinful or selfish pleasure. It's wonderful how we can take the holiest things, the kindest acts of our God, and turn them into idols. God blesses us physically, materially. We turn those blessings into idols. We worship the blessing instead of the blesser. We forget the Lord. Rather, we are commanded to yield ourselves as instruments to glorify Him. You know, the believer's whole life is to be lived the way the camp of Israel, or the nation of Israel, were called upon to live their lives, around the tabernacle of the Lord. Our whole life is to be lived in the light of the person and work of Christ. But more than that, it is to be lived in the sight of the person and work of Christ. When you turn to the New Testament, you'll find that the apostle again and again makes this argument. Take the famous text in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What's the great argument Paul uses with the Roman Christians? He says, "I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God, get your eyes on Calvary. See what Christ has done for you. See the mighty grace of God from His predestinating purpose in eternity through the glorious actions of His love in Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection. And through the work of the Holy Spirit regenerating you and bringing you into Christ. Through all that He has done for you, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." To the Corinthians he said, "Now, I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Again, exhorting the Romans to pray, he said, "For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." To the Ephesians, he wrote that they should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they're called, the idea of the worthiness of Christ's call upon them. Again and again and again, you'll find this in the Scriptures of truth, and especially in Paul's epistles, where the Holy Spirit takes Christ's grace toward us. He holds it out before our sight and says, "Now walk in the light of that. Let that be your motivation. Let your life be one perpetual reaction to Christ and to Calvary." You remember that the psalmist asked, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Should that not be the question that is always in the heart of a Christian? Should we not be seeking day by day to live our lives, answering that question? I think every Christian's life should be one continual answer to that question. And what is the answer that the psalmist gives in Psalm 116? "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take." You know, it could only happen in the gospel. What will I give to the Lord? The answer, "I will take." The thing is this, we cannot give without taking. You see, you and I have nothing to give to the Lord. All your talents, all your time, all your money, all your health, all your brains. It's all so much rubbish unless it's given by taking of the cup of salvation. By appropriating all that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. All our time and talent and ability is useless without the power of prevailing prayer. And then I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people. That's our answer. That's why the Word of God commands us, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." Remember that you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul went so far as to say, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You see, the Lord commands us to live a Christ-centered life. A self-centered life is not an option for a Christian. A world-centered life is not an option for a Christian. Let me go even further. A family-centered life is not an option for a Christian. You will ruin yourself. You will ruin your family. You will ruin your business. You will ruin anything that you make the center of your life. Christ is never to be on the periphery of life. Christ is at the very heart of our lives. He will not occupy some empty room in our heart. He occupies the throne of our heart. Otherwise, you're either not saved or backslidden. For the Lord commands His people to live a Christ-centered life. And just as it was unthinkable for Israel to take the tabernacle and pitch it down deep in the southern desert and say, well, at least we have got the tabernacle up. It was unthinkable. It had to be where God wanted it, right in the heart of the nation. So it is unthinkable for a Christian to have Christ anywhere but at the center of his life. God commands a Christ-centered life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.